as we continue our series on the book of, or on the life of Elisha entitled Daring to Follow God's Call. Remember that Elisha followed the leading prophet of his generation. He left the ease of his established life and business to follow God's call to be the next leading prophet of his generation. He realized it would necessitate hardship. He realized living in a country that was in moral and spiritual decline. He realized that he would be a voice for truth that was very unpopular. He realized that in a nation that was divided, he would rally people to be united to God and to his truth. In his generation, he dared to ask God for more power. He dared to ask God for more influence to impact not only his generation, but impact a generation to follow. He dared to ask God for more. We've learned about his life that his life really is a life that is best learned about not by people that are very comfortable with the status quo and even a compromised kind of Christianity. No, not his life. His life is best reserved for people who will dare in our generation to follow God's call. And God is still reaching out to people and calling them to do his will in their lives. And along the journey that God had for Elisha and that we are taking with him, a subject that is very personal but very true for every person who dares to follow God's call is addressed. It is the question of unfair personal attack. Earlier, when we began our time in worship today, I talked to you about the subject and raised the subject. I hope you've been thinking about it a little bit, about how this has been something that you faced in your life. And I hope you're desirous of hearing what God has to say to help you in your life when you face, while you're daring to follow God's call, unfair personal attack. So I'm going to preach to you on the subject today. What do I do when I am under an unfair personal attack? Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. So Lord, this topic is such a powerful topic. It's one of the things that really, in a lifetime, we remember these times. So many things in life that go, we don't remember day to day. But when we're under personal attack, we always remember. And so we ask that you would help us because we need it. And you have been so wise to address this subject, even in the life of this man, Elisha, so that as he dares to follow the call you had for his life, we too are daring to follow the call you have for our lives. And we want to know your truth and your help to guide us in this calling. And so we pray it, resting in the Holy Spirit, very aware of human insufficiency, but of the sweetness of the voice of the Holy Spirit and asking him to speak. For we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. It's early in the morning in the ancient city of Dothan. Let's go back, a few weeks, maybe even a few months in time, to see how we came to this point of personal attack. You have your Bible open to 2 Kings chapter 6. I begin reading in verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel. The king of Syria, when you read that, is sometimes called Aram. His name is Ben-Hadad II. And he comes to war against Israel. The king of Israel is Joram. He is the son of the terrible, wicked king Ahab. And so it was that the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of. and saved himself there? Not once nor twice. That's a creative way of saying this was happening again and again and again. And then it helps you to understand why the Bible says this in verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? We've got a spy. Who's the spy? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He knows all the inner workings that are taking place. God has revealed it to him. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore send he hither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, verse 15 tells us, and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Don't you hate it when somebody tells a story and stops in the middle and doesn't tell you the ending? Let's end the story and watch how this ends. Keep reading in your Bible. And he answered, verse 16, fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite the people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. Really, their beef wasn't with Elisha, it was with their political enemy and military enemy, the king of Israel. But he led them in Samaria, the capital of the city of the northern kingdom. And it came to pass, when they were come unto Samaria, or into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. It's early morning in the ancient city of Samaria. And on this early morning, Elisha and his servant with him experienced an unfair personal attack. So what do you do when you have experienced those unfair personal attacks? In this passage of Scripture, God is going to give us five considerations when we experience unfair personal attacks. Here's the first consideration of the five. Consider the kinds of unfair personal attacks. Consider the kinds of unfair personal attacks. Now, it may be that the attack that is made on you is covert deception. When we read in verse 13, you'll notice what happens, that the king of Aram or Syria says, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And so he has a covert operation, and they find out where he is, and they go to the city unbeknownst to Elisha, unless God would reveal it. And sometimes what you'll find is there are personal attacks, and it's done by somebody deceptively speaking behind your back, manipulating, all of this covert deception. But you better believe it is a personal attack against you. Sometimes it's overt intimidation. And so this young man, when he wakes up in the morning, the way the Bible puts it is so creative, because the way God does it is, when the servant, verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city round about. He didn't even know it was coming. He had no idea. And now all of a sudden, early on this morning, he looks down to the sloping hill, the pass that was guarded into the only really way out, which is through the Dothan Valley. There's a guard of horses and chariots and foot soldiers. And he looks to the north, and he looks to the east, and he looks to the south. And how intimidating, a defenseless city, an army circled about. Sometimes you'll find when people make personal attacks against you, you'll find they will use intimidation. Maybe you've had that experience with people. And then sometimes it's a direct attack. So you read in verse 18 that after the show of force to intimidate, then that the hosts came down. Of course, you have some hosts of the Syrian army are in the pass guarding that. And there are others that are up in the mountains, and they now begin to descend upon the city, and they begin to come closer and closer and closer, prepared for a direct attack. Now, sometimes personal attacks may be one, they may be all three of those kinds of attacks, but how many of you know, whatever kind it is, when you get attacked personally, you know what an assault it is on your life. Yeah, you better believe it. The kinds of personal attacks. Well, beyond that then, there's something else to consider. Beyond that, let's consider your course of action when you are under an unfair personal attack. What are the first words that come out of Elisha's mouth, verse 16? What are the first words? You tell me, church. What's he say? Fear not. You can't let fear paralyze you. The surprise of it. All of a sudden, there's an army. We didn't see them coming. We had no idea. The intimidation of it, the reality of its sting, even the potential consequences. What are we against an army? You can be paralyzed by fear. You're afraid to make any decision because you don't want to make the wrong decision. You're afraid of men and what they might think. You're afraid of the unknown. You're afraid of failure, defeat, your whatever fear is in your life. And fear can paralyze you. I love John's words in his first epistle, John chapter 4, verse 18, when he says this, that perfect love casts out fear. I found it so helpful in my life to know that my God is a God who loves me. Whatever else is happening, it doesn't change. And that everything that he allows in my life passes by his hand of grace and love. And to know that in the times when I'm afraid, I can trust the love of my God, and I can focus on loving him. And my love for him, his love for me, draws me and pushes me through the fears. In fact, John said this, the person that is manipulated and controlled by fear is not, here's the quote from the scripture, not made perfect in love. Remember when you read the word perfect in the Bible, think this, all that God wants me to be. God, with his love for me, and loving him helps you to get past the paralyzation of fear. Well, You can't let fear paralyze you. There's something else to consider, and that is you can't let appearances deceive you. Now, sometimes unfair personal attacks are made to seem bigger than they are, especially for those who like to intimidate and make you think they're bigger than they are. But sometimes unfair personal attacks keep us from seeing how big God is. Now, I know when you read this scripture, you can understand the fear of this young man. But I want you to notice, keep reading in verse 16. Of course, we read already, he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." How many of you like math? Who likes math? Let's see who you math people are. Good on you. Proud for you. I'm not a math person myself. Now, but I don't think you have to be a math person. And this young man hears the prophet say, "Hey, there's more of us than of them." Excuse me? Let's count. 1, 2. 2. How can you say there's more with us than with them? Oh my. All that the young man saw was him and Elisha. But did you see and read what the young man did not see? Look in your Bible at verse 17. The young man did not see this. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What did he not see? He didn't see God's fiery cavalry, an army of angelic beings. What are these fiery, armored beings? Well, we do know they're supernatural. Sometimes in the Bible, God pulls back the curtain of the natural in the seen and helps us to see the realm of the supernatural in the unseen. Now, we live in the world of the natural and the seen, except by faith. And all we see is what we see in front of us. But there is another reality that is just as real as the reality of you and I having this conversation. It is just as much a reality, and that is that there is an unseen realm that takes place simultaneously in the seen realm in which we live. And in this case, God pulls back the curtain of the unseen realm, of the seen realm, to let us see the unseen realm. And the young man, all he could see was soldiers and chariots and horses and armor and weaponry. That's all he could see. But what he didn't see was that God was working. Who are these beings? Take your Bible and go with me. Keep your place in 2 Kings. Go with me to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And I tipped my hand, because I already told you what I think, what they are. The psalm begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty," describing our God and all that he does. And I want you to notice verse 4, "Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire." The author of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, quotes Psalm 104, verse 4, both affirming the truth of it and interpreting this so that we know exactly what is described. This is angelic beings. Who were these angelic beings that were driving these fiery chariots and fiery horses? Who are they? They're God's angels. Was it the first time Elisha has seen this. Do you remember the day that Elijah lived his last day on this earth? Do you remember that day? A long time ago, we spent some time together on that day. Remember, Elisha had been with Elijah, the leading prophet of that generation, for 10 years. And God had already told Elijah and Elisha, and even the sons of the prophets, those men who were training to be prophets, that this was going to be Elijah's last day. And you remember that Elijah and Elisha were walking together. They crossed the Jordan River. And then the Bible says that all of a sudden, from the sky, come horses, fiery horses in a chariot, and go right between Elijah and Elisha, right? And they pick up Elijah, and they take him up to glory. And now again, he sees the armies of God. But I want to tell you this, that though you may not see the spiritual battle, you had better believe this, that God is working on your behalf to give you the resources that you need. And God is a God that while you're fighting in the spiritual battle and the unfair personal attack is keeping you, is a battle that you're facing in your life, please don't ever think that you're alone. Don't ever think that God is not concerned. In reality, in the unseen world, there is a God who is fighting for you. See, this is not a denial of human reality, but an acknowledgement of divine resources and power that are at your disposal. You may not see it, but oh, they are at your disposal. God is working for you. I love the prayer of the psalmist, Psalm 119, 18. Open thou my eyes that I might behold wonderful things out of thy law. The Apostle Paul prays a wonderful prayer in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, and he prays in Ephesians 1:18 in part that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. When you're under personal attack, I mean, you're following God's call and you're doing the will of God in your life and you're pursuing what He has for your life. And it appears at times when the attack is intense and deep, and it almost seems at times that there's no hope and all is lost. Don't lose sight of the fact that God has resources available to fight for you. So how about if we pray with Elisha? Open our eyes, Lord. We don't want to lose sight that you have the power and the resources that I need. Always sufficient. Would you open my eyes, especially when you're in those times when it's really intense. It's hard to look beyond. All you can see and think about is the situation you're in. And believe me, it's called a personal attack because it is so intensely personal, right? Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see beyond this. Help me to see you for all that you are and your help. You see, you can't let fear paralyze you. You can't let appearances deceive you, but you can claim the promises God has for you. His word, His power, the indwelling and enabling Holy Spirit, His truth, His glory. In the New Testament, the book of Ephesians reminds us of this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and then verse 21. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In the midst of it, God is working for His glory beyond what you and I can see, and He's working in us. Hey, is God working in you? How is God working in you? Well, what do I do when I'm under an unfair personal attack? Consider the kinds of unfair personal attacks. You consider your course of action. Hey, here's something else, the third of the five considerations in 2 Kings chapter 6. Consider the consequences for those who make unfair personal attacks. Now, Pastor, why should I think about the consequences for them? I'm the one under attack. What about the consequences for me? But in this passage, God focuses on the consequences for those men who made the attack. Look at your Bible again, 2 Kings chapter 6. Keep reading. And when they came down to Elisha, or unto him, they came down from the mountains. Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Imagine how terrifying that would be. In an instant, an entire army blind. In enemy territory. Try to picture in your what would you think if that were you? Terrifying. And then keep reading what happens. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek." But he led them to Samaria. And here we have armies led like children as prisoners of war, blind, to rugged country. And they're on their way to Samaria. And it came to pass, verse 20, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Imagine what it must have been like. You're marching along the way and you're feeling a blind person, feeling your way along. You're being led like a child. You come to a city and all you can do is hear the voices and hear. You don't know where you are. You hear what is going on around you. When you finally see, you realize, I am in the center of the military might of my enemy. Defenseless. Now, the chances are that God will not allow you to pray for your enemy to be blinded. Though I guess you could pray that. The chances are that's not going to happen for you. But I want you to know, when you are under personal attack, that there are always consequences for those who make that attack. Always. And realize that even that person who's the worst enemy will face consequences they never anticipated, that God will work on their behalf. God has a way of doing this. He just has a way of doing it. I can't explain it except He does it. The 12th chapter of Romans, verse 19, reminds us, "Avenge not yourselves, for vengeance is mine," the scripture says, "I will repay, saith the Lord." And that takes us to our fourth consideration that God tells us about in this passage, and that is this: consider the choice you have when you are under an unfair personal attack. The choice you have. Now, in this portion of Scripture, there are two reactions to what is taking place. The first reaction is the king of Israel, Joram. And verse 21 tells us about his reaction. "The king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, 'My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?'" Can you get the sense of excitement? I get to kill somebody. This is great. But wait a minute. That's the ungodly man. Then there's the reaction of the prophet. the man of God, Elisha. And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Now, each of these men pictures the choice you have to make when you are daring to follow God's call and you come under a personal, unfair spiritual attack. And here's the choice. Will I hold retribution in my hand or place it in God's hand? Because, oh, that retribution is like a club. And I want to get even. I want to get back. I want to make sure that she pays. I want to make sure he gets what's come to him. I'm going to... Wait a minute. Would you be willing to take that club of retribution that's consuming you and give it to the Lord and ask the Lord to handle it? Could it be that there are people in our congregation here, wherever they're watching or seeing it, that in their hand they have a club? They're just looking for a way to get back. And God, the Holy Spirit, is so smiting your conscience. Today you have a really important choice. Am I going to hold on to that club? Or am I going to give it over to God and trust God with it? That's the choice you have when you are under an unfair personal attack. What choice are you going to make? Then there's one more consideration, and that is consider the possibilities of what God is doing through unfair personal attacks. Well, while Elisha was under this unfair personal attack, God was doing something bigger. God was doing something big. He was providing an opportunity of grace and peace for those who did not deserve it. Soldiers serving at the command of their king. The Syrian army, the Syrian nation, enemies of God's people Israel. And yet, read what the Bible says in verse 23. "And he prepared great provision for them. When they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master, so that the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel." There will come a day when God would judge the Syrians. It'll happen very quickly. But God, at this time, in grace, God, at this time, gave them one more opportunity to respond to the grace of God and to know his peace before the judgment would one day come. But at this time, God offered grace to them. Maybe in your response to an unfair personal attack, God will not only help you, and oh, he will, but God may provide an opportunity for grace and peace for people who may not deserve it. After all, isn't that what grace is? Would you stand with me, please?